One of the Marines snickered at that. Kelvin didn't have the energy left to argue.
"I'll go with her," Heron van Ewyk said. "My people need to be briefed anyway, and I'll let the science officers know what's required."
"What is required?" Jacqueline Couture asked.
Rodri Peyton turned and gave a start. In place of the dumpy middle-aged woman, there was a tall, beautiful, 20-year-old girl wearing a white cocktail gown. She gave him a silent, entreating look, the maiden about to be offered to the dragon.
"Help me, please. You're not like them. You're not an emotionless machine. They want to hurt me in their laboratories. Don't let them."
Garrett Tucci jabbed the Bradfield into her back.
"Pack it in, bitch," he said roughly.
She twisted, like an AV projection with a broken focus, and the old Jacqueline Couture was standing there, a mocking expression on her face. Her jeans and shirt were now clean and pressed.
"My God!" Rodri Peyton gasped.
"Now do you see?" Kelvin asked.
The now nervous Marine squad escorted their prisoner along the connecting tube to the bus. Jacqueline Couture sat beside one of the windows, five guns lined up on her. She watched the bare walls of sterile rock impassively as the bus rolled back across the crater and into a downward-sloping tunnel that led deep into the asteroid. First Admiral Samuel Alexandrovich hadn't set foot on his native Russian ethnic birth planet, Kolomna, for the last 53 of his 73 years. He hadn't been back for a holiday, nor even his parents' funeral. Regular visits might have been deemed inappropriate, given that Confederation Navy career officers were supposed to renounce any national ties when they walked through the academy entrance. For a First Admiral to display any undue interest would have been a completely unacceptable breach of diplomatic etiquette. People would have understood his attending the funerals, though. So everyone assumed he was applying the same kind of steely discipline to his private affairs that ruled his professional life. They were all wrong. Samuel Alexandrovich had never been back because there was nothing on the wretched planet with its all-over temperate climate which interested him, not family, nor culture, nor nostalgic scenery. The reason he left in the first place, because he couldn't stand the idea of spending a century helping his four brothers and three sisters run the family fruit farming business. The same engineering which had produced his energetic 1.80 meter frame, vivid copper hair and enhanced metabolism, bestowed a life expectancy of at least 120 years. By the time he was 19 years old, he had come to realize that such a life would be a prison sentence given the vocations available on a planet just emerging from its agrarian phase. A potentially blessed life should not be faced with such finite horizons, for if it was, it would turn from being a joy into a terrible burden. Variety was sanity. So on the day after his 20th birthday, he had kissed his parents and siblings goodbye, walked the 17 kilometers into town through a heavy snowfall, and signed on at the Confederation Navy recruitment office. Metaphorically and otherwise, he had never looked back. He had never been anything other than an exemplary officer. He'd seen combat 7 times, flown anti-pirate interdictions, commanded a flotilla raiding an illegal antimatter production station, and gained a substantial number of distinguished service awards. But appointment to the post of First Admiral required a great deal more than an exemplary record. As much as he hated it, Samuel Alexandrovich had to play the political game, appearing before assembly select committees, giving unofficial briefings to senior diplomats, wielding fleet intelligence information with as much skill as he did the rapier. He was year champion at the academy. His ability to pressure member states was admired by the assembly president's staffers, as much for its neatness as the millions of fuser dollars saved by circumventing fleet deployment to trouble spots. And their word counted for a great deal more than the Admiralty, who advanced the names of candidates to the Assembly's Naval Committee. In the 6 years he had held the office, he had done a good job, keeping the peace between sometimes volatile planetary governments and the even more mercurial asteroid settlements. Leaders and politicians respected his toughness and fairness. A great deal of his renowned, even-handed approach was formed when, at the age of 32, he was serving as a lieutenant on a frigate that had been sent to Jantrit
to assist the Edenists in some kind of armed rebellion, however unbelievable it sounded at the time.